I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And with us is Amanda Williams, Senior Master Sergeant Amanda Williams of the United States Air Force. So impressive. And we're going to talk about female fitment, meaning airplanes were designed around big fat guys like me, and now we're trying to stick svelte little ladies in there and make them fit. Is that what am I anywhere near close, or am I just putting my foot in my mouth?
Again.
No, so you're pretty much close. If you imagine, like, back in the day, that's primarily who it was that was flying, were males. And a lot of our equipment was designed around that. And a lot of it has not changed a whole lot, not the base of the items, but of course they've, you know, have been modified and evolved over time, as our aircraft have as well. And while everything else has evolved, so has the workforce. And there's more females getting into it. And so we've realized, like, hey, we looked at the 95 percentile of the workforce at the time when we were designing things, and it was primarily male. Now we have an increased presence of females, so we need to start paying attention to them and making sure that it fits them in order to make sure it's the safest thing that we can provide them.
Yeah, because if you're not one with the airplane, that's just not going to work.
No.
So does that involve being involved in the design process to make the range of sizes that can fit larger, or does it involve retrofitting existing designs, or all of the above?
Pretty much all of the above. So there's been quite a few events that, I mean, female aviators from everywhere have come together. It's been pretty amazing and inspiring, honestly. And I know, like, our uniform office has been there, and we've been a part of it. Like, a lot of people from AFL-CMC has been a part of that and done body scans and gotten feedback from them. And it's now... that's now also a requirement that so much, whenever you are designing something or testing something, bringing something on board, you have to make sure, like, so much of your testing pool is female, so you can make sure that you capture that as well. So, yes, it goes back to modifying, and as you're developing, keeping them in mind.
And I guess you also develop the range of pilots' sizes that you're looking for.
Yes.
I mean, if you're 4'8", that probably won't fit you in any transport airplane.
It starts with the aircraft and how that's designed. I mean, it's pretty cool. I've seen that as well whenever they're trying to come out with a new aircraft, and they're like, all right, we need to get people in there and see, like, okay, can they reach everything? How does this go? Does the seat move up, you know, high enough so they can see where they need to, or anything like that?
Yeah, I have short legs, so I need the blocks on the pedals.
Yeah, and at the same time, you got short legs. If you need to go up a little bit closer, well, then we need to also make sure, okay, well, then how does your gear fit your body? You know, are we trying to put so much stuff on your chest for a survival vest, per se, that now you're bumping into any controls or anything like that? So it's a huge piece of the integration.
Well, you know, that brings up a very important question, because one of the pieces of survival equipment that when you need it real bad, the ejection seat. How do you modify that for a smaller person?
That is something... as a much bigger pool, because it's a little bit easier for us to modify something that is worn on the person.
Okay.
And part of the aircraft, that's a much bigger pool. And from my limited understanding, because egress injection systems are not my lane per se, it all comes back to, like, okay, this is what it can support. This is how big the person can be, how heavy they can be, how wide they can be, whatever, and so on, and still eject safely. So as you stated, if that size pool starts to change greatly, they have to find different ways, either maybe modifying the seat or modifying a piece of the seat and doing something with the weight and balances or something of that sort, maybe, that is less of a pain or has less of a third and fourth effects of modification, possibly.
Would you say that they sometimes fit an airplane to a specific pilot? In other words, they add seat bolsters or whatever they need to do?
Again, that's not really my lane, per se. But like I said, I think it's kind of cool that I have seen that they will do that testing as they're developing it to make sure, like, okay, can everyone reach everything and do everything? So. That would lead me to believe that they do take that in consideration when designing it, but again, that's not really my specialty.
Okay. What is your specialty exactly, so we get right on track?
So my specialty is aircrew flight equipment, which is exactly what it sounds like. So everything that an aircrew member, and that means whether it be a pilot or someone working in the back of a heavies or something of that sort, we make sure that they have all the equipment that they need to safely operate the aircraft, that they're safe if there was an emergency in flight, that their ejection system does work, their ejection seats do fall under our division. If they had to bail out, we take care of that as well. We also make sure they're equipped with any kind of survival items they will need, that once they bail out or eject, they can survive whatever environment they find themselves in, whether that be floating in a raft in the water or somewhere on land or even stuck in a tree. We've come up with a way that, like, you can just, like, rappel yourself down. So they can take care of themselves and let rescue know where they're at so they can come and get them. And odds are we probably equipped a lot of the rescue that's going to come get them as well.
Okay. We're speaking with Amanda Williams, Master Sergeant.
Senior Master Sergeant.
Well, I'm terrible at ranks. You can tell I never served. I was thinking when she said in trees, they have, like, a little miniature chainsaw on their belt, you know, cut their way out.
We actually get them a little rope.
I hope.
A little rope with some really good tensile strength that can do that room, go down.
Is there the Michelin Man effect if you're not careful? They got so much stuff on them, they just look like this and they can hardly move.
Yes, honestly, that is something to take into consideration, because we do have, you know, they tell us that they need us. We go out and we find something to fulfill that requirement, so they have that capability. Then it's up to them, pick and choose. What is your priority of what you need out there? And I have seen people out there, Michelin Man, but sometimes you got to pare down. As I said, you don't want to be bumping into things, you know, that you didn't mean to bump into because you piled so much stuff on. And then also you have to consider what the human body can take.
Right, right. I mean, you know, parachuting out of an airplane is scary enough, but when you got an extra additional, 70, 80 pounds of gear on board, that's even more frightening.
Especially with that opening shock.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Because the military chutes, they open pretty hard.
They're trying to jolt you to awareness, I guess. I don't know. Wow.
They make you think twice. Geez, I knew I should have stayed with the plane.
That's called the boy you done messed up shock.
Yeah.
So, new aircraft, new requirements, everything's changing constantly. It's all we've got to do. Or...
I don't know if I say they're always, I mean, they are always evolving. So there is always something. Our particular branch handles the sustainment of everything that's out there right now. So I feel like we see a lot of changes just due to industry changes and then a slight little modifications that can be done for new capabilities that are being introduced. Anything new to the process is going to have an effect. It doesn't need something as huge as like a completely new aircraft.
So that's intriguing. It brings to mind a question. As airplanes are retrofitted and upgraded, so mm-hmm. the equipment the pilots and everybody carries has to do the same.
Could be, depending on what it was.
Okay.
Well, you know, I imagine that technology plays a fair part of this, too, because as we get more and more technologically advanced, you're going to be carrying more and more sophisticated equipment. You know, hey, everybody could... you know, parachutes out of an airplane nowadays could easily be equipped with a spot or a satellite phone, just in case.
I feel like it could go either way. You can have those technological advances, like I said, now I need this gadget and I need this gadget, and you start putting more stuff on, or it could go the opposite way. I used to have 5 gadgets and now I have it all in one.
Swiss Army knife approach.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
All I need is a credit card and a pencil. I'm good.
There you go. There you go.
Sounds like a never-ending job. I mean,
it is, but it's very rewarding.
Do you guys also outfit for Arctic?
Yes.
Oh, my. That's got to be.
Yes.
That's Michelin Man territory.
That can be very, very challenging, especially whenever it comes time to put everything into like a survival kit. We're always trying to jam so much stuff into a small space because, again, you have to think of all those different effects.
It's the purse effect, yes.
Yeah.
Well, no matter, you know, you can never find what you're looking for. It's
and
in there
not
somewhere.
Only that, but when you're dealing with various weather, you know, various climate conditions, you have to plan for that too, because stuff that may work in the tropics definitely isn't going to work in the Arctic.
Just what I need here in Alaska is shorts.
Yeah, and a Hawaiian shirt, you know.
Yeah. So how many people are involved in this? How big is your group?
Oh, Wow.
Sounds like a lot.
I think it's easier for me to, instead of saying how large we are, to explain like kind of how we work. So we work in what's called integrated product teams in my particular branch. So a team might consist of myself. I am at the base level, I am an aircrew flight equipment technician. I maintain the gear. I fix it if it's broke. I replace parts. I custom fit it to the aircrew member and so on. But I have a manual that tells me what to do. And that manual is written by a tech manual writer. That is a member of the product team. But they also had an engineer that said, yes, you can safely do that. Before you write that down, you can safely do that. Okay, cool. So now I have an engineer that's part of that team. But then, you know, logistics is everything. Doesn't matter if you got all the parts and pieces, if you can't get them there and everything doesn't work out, you don't have the money and everything. So we have a logistics manager that's part of it. And then a program manager that helps us find that money and make sure everything is happening just right. And that is for every single piece of equipment is assigned to one of those teams.
Now we understand why the organizations are so large.
Yes.
So much going on in the background.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been doing this?
September's going to make 23 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's been a
goodness.
Great 23.
Wow.
You're an old hand at this thing.
She's the expert.
Yeah.
The one they come to when they have questions.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having the experience. It's great being one of the old heads, isn't it?
The gray beard. Oh, you don't have a beard.
No, but it's definitely on top. It's coming.
Hey, at least you got hair.
Yes, I'm happy for that.
Yeah, really. So you planning on retiring out?
It's probably coming up pretty soon.
Very cool. Very cool. I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Senior Master Sergeant Amanda Williams. United States Air Force. And I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.